Thank you, Pastor John.
Again, thank you, music team. I don't know about anyone else, but I'm blessed every week when I'm here and able to just participate in our worship. And the songs really were encouragement to me, especially today. I didn't get much sleep last night. Little guy, he's coughing. He's not sleeping. Kathy slept in the playpen with him, and so they're not here. And the playpen's right next to my bedroom, or our bedroom. So anyway, here I am. And thanks for your prayers for Josiah. He had his four-year assessment. If you don't know, he has autism and global developmental delays, and he's way ahead of where they thought he would be this year, and so grateful. Still lots of work to do, certainly, but appreciate your concern and prayers for our little guy. And he does have a pretty bad cold right now, and I'm getting it, too. I got a box of Kleenex, so I might have to grab some. But it's good to be here, and we'll still be here after I'm done preaching. Just so you know, this is our church at this point, and wherever God has us in the future, we don't know, but this is where we're at today, and in the near future as well. All right, so today I want to talk about true discipleship. And so we're going to look at some characteristics of a true disciple. All right, so we're not going to necessarily rank the top 10. I'd like you to just pick out your top 5, and then we're going to have a survey, non-anonymous. All right, so I hope you can see that. I crammed it all into one. A characteristic of a disciple is having a careful student of the Scriptures, zealous and active in their stand for God, appetite for worship and prayer, consistent in worship attendance, practice scripture memorization, not afraid of public prayer, active in affairs of local church, fasts regularly, has a desire to stand against blasphemy and ungodliness, and has a firm grasp of basic foundational theological truths. All right, so what I'm going to have you do, kind of think about this for a second, and then raise your hand if this is one of your top 5, okay? All right, so how many think that being a careful student of the Scriptures is like a top 5 for you? Raise your hand. Excellent. All right, how about zealous and active in their stand for God? You're going to take a stand. All right, excellent. Appetite for worship and prayer? Yeah. All right, pretty much everyone there. If you want to go more than 5, that's okay too, because you're going, wait a minute, these are all good. Consistent in worship attendance. Obviously, you're here today. The people that aren't here, they'd be going, oh, I don't know about that. Practices scripture memorization. 3, 2. Yeah. Not afraid of public prayer. All right. Yeah. All right. The nice thing about public prayer is that if some people say, well, I'm afraid to pray out loud, but I just want you to know it's in the agreement. That's the important thing. So I would encourage people at our public prayer times, just agree with what's being prayed already. You don't even have to pray out loud, but you're listening and you're agreeing with what's taking place. All right, active in affairs of local church. All right? Yeah. Fast regularly. Yeah, that's all right. Has a desire to stand against blasphemy and ungodliness. Okay, and has a firm grasp of basic foundational theological truths. Excellent. I was hoping Pastor John would raise his hand on that. That's a good one. All right, so here's a couple things. Two things you need to know. All of these are important. Some maybe more important than others. And number two, these are all the characteristics and values of a Pharisee. So what we're going to talk about today, these are important. But what's the difference? What's the difference? All right? Yes. So there's some things that the Pharisees... So I'm going to have a scripture about what the Pharisees did and then what we're supposed to do as well. So there's four things today. There certainly could be more. And they're not necessarily any type of order of importance. They're all important. So here we go. Question. What were the Pharisees lacking? And my computer just shut off. Yes, that's a definitely good one. All right. So a true disciple practices justice, mercy, all those things are very important because this is one of the things that was lacking. Justice is about fairness and doing what is right. A lot of stuff going on in our world right now with just what is justice and what's important and having compassion. So especially for a lot of what's taking place in our country. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. They had the appearance of being religious, and I've been in church growing up where I didn't notice at first, but now looking back, there was quite a bit of that. It was all about, you know, what we do for God, and it was more of a show of, here's what I do, and look at me type of thing. Luke chapter 11, verse 42 tells us, woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Jesus was pretty harsh with the Pharisees, and we're going to have more scriptures about that. And he let them have it. He really did. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Now, it's important to understand that it's not just about what we do for God. It is about what we do for God, but it's not about just the outward appearance. It's our heart and how we would truly try to help other people to reach them for the good news of, with the good news of Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we need to have hearts for people. In the churches that I've been a part of, we've had groups that they really had a desire to help people. In our Oak Ridge church, we had a gal that every year she would collect backpacks and the items that would go in the backpacks for kids for school. And the school would come out with a list, and so we would all gather together with all the materials that she would gather over the course of a year, and then we would pack each of those backpacks individually for that particular grade. And this was Dee Dee's heart. She really wanted to do this. And even when COVID hit and the school started supplying these needs, we still had backpacks ready to go for people. And you can imagine, Oak Ridge is one of the poor, actually it is the poorest school district in the state of Oregon. It's one of the top 10 in the nation for poverty. And so there was a lot of need there. And so we have a lot of people in the church that have hearts for compassion. There's a little food box outside, a little pantry, and so they keep food inside and they stock that on a regular basis. They have a coat closet. There's a number of things they do, and this was all done by the people in the church. I had nothing to do with it. I got to come and be a part of that. And I've been a part of several churches like that, and it's been great having a heart for people. We can't do it all, but we can certainly do something. And God wants us to have that heart. That's really one of the marks of a true disciple, is having compassion and justice for what's important, and to really try to help people in this world. All right, number two. A true disciple loves God and loves people. Now, sometimes it's hard. It's okay to love God. Sometimes it's harder to love people. Trust me. I know. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. But they loved human praise more than praise from God. It was all about appearance for many as Pharisees. John chapter 13, 34 through 35 tells us, a new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is one of the real true marks of discipleship, that people would see you and see what you do, and they realize there's something different about us, not necessarily wacky or weird, but that we love people. And it's not always easy. It's not always easy to love people, I know. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar, for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. So here's a little IQ test. I got this from one of my favorite authors, John Ortberg. It's an irritation quotient. All right, so we're going to take a little quiz. You don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. All right, so when driving, how often do you use your horn? Rarely, if ever. As needed, at least once a day. It is the most used part of my car. All right, if that's the case, just how much you think about that. At a restaurant, how often do you complain about food? Excellent, that's good. Never, good. Yeah, I won't even ask you to raise your hand if that's the case. But number two, only if it's cold or there are too many bugs in it. I know there's something in the world now that wants to eat bugs, so we'll see what happens with that. That really bugs me, you know. Yeah. regularly, and I go out to my car and honk the horn until they get it right. All right, next. While waiting in the express checkout line at the supermarket, I meditate quietly and visualize world peace. Count to see if anyone has more than 12 items. Yes. Sorry. I might do that every once in a while. You know, you get bored. Number three, threaten anyone who looks as if they are going to use coupons. All right. That's right. Yeah, I just pull out my phone and play solitaire, so there you go. All right, so that was it. So obviously, this is a fun type of thing, but just think about how we do different things. When I get into Walmart, I've shared this before, I try to smile. I put on a smile, and I really try to be patient. I'm not generally a patient person, but God helps me. And this is a reminder from when I first started preaching here, and I talked about love, and so this is from chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and so I kind of paraphrased it here. So love is patient, is kind, doesn't want what it doesn't have, is humble, isn't offensive, it's unselfish, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score, doesn't revel when others grovel, looks out for others, trusts God in everything, always looks for the best, never looks back, never gives up. And I want to remind us again that, can I put my place in the word love? So can I say that Mark is patient, Mark is kind, Mark doesn't want what he doesn't have, and then put our own name in there. And you can always go back and review that. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, the love chapter. And understand that even right before that, it talks about if you don't have love, what is it? You're nothing. In this world, you know, okay, yeah, some people say, well, you are something, but really, in God's eyes, if we are not truly loving, we are nothing. It's where we can have all of this, whatever, but it's very, very important. That's one of the main characteristics of a disciple. And Jesus reemphasized that when he says, people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And it's not easy. And if God wants us to do it, folks, he will help us. I have to be willing on my part to do that. And so I just have to say, okay, Lord, I got to give this person over to you. This is a really hard person. But God will help us. All right. So number three, a true disciple lives by the word of God. Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 3. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. John chapter 8, verses 31 to 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then if you love me, you will keep my commands." So throughout John 14 and into John chapter 15, I believe it's five times he says this, that if you love me, you're going to show it by obeying what I tell you to do. How do we know what to do? Well, we have to be students of the Word. We have to read the Word. Bible studies are a part of that. Being a part of church where there's a message every single week that is going to be helpful for us to grow in our relationship. But there's no substitute for getting into the Word ourselves and reading the Bible. I got to tell you, when I was a kid, and some of you might be my age or close to it or older, we had the King James Bible. And I can remember that if we came to church 13 straight times, we would get a free Bible, and the free Bible you got was the King James Version. And I would read it, and I can remember about 1970, there was a hippie Bible that came out called the Living Bible. And so there weren't a lot of Bibles back in those days, different versions. And nowadays, there are so many. It's unbelievable. There are apps. On my phone, I have two Bible apps. And you have apps that will give you a daily scripture. There are so many just Bible studies. There are just devotional books. We're inundated with that. And so I don't want to say there's no excuse, but really it's important for us to be students of the Word. And we can do that. And so in order for us to truly become disciples, we need to know what Jesus wants from us. And the best way to hear from God, certainly He will speak to us spirit to spirit, but the best way to hear from God is through His Word. So that's all I have to say about that. Now, number four, a true disciple puts God first. This is the last one here. Matthew chapter 23:25-26. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, then the outside also will be clean." Luke chapter 14, verse 27. "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Luke chapter 14, verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, the word hate there means love less. This would be contradictory to the rest of the Bible completely. And understand that we put God first. And someone said it like this. God first, family second. Even church would be third, but church is a part of your family, so you can just lump those two together, really. And we don't hate our families. We're not supposed to. But we can love them less than we would love God. But they're pretty much right there, folks. So here's Jesus on top, and I'm right here with family. And family is very important. Right now, that's my priority right now, to take care of my family as best I can. And that's why I've taken this time away from pastor. I'm hoping to get back at it again but at some point. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to come here and be able to share the Word. All right. So here's the challenge today. Becoming a true disciple who practices justice, loves God and people, lives the Word, and puts God first. When we do those things, folks, we become who God wants us to be. And we move into it's a whole new dynamic of how we can be used by God and be effective for Him. Those are some of the most important things. If we're going to be like the Pharisees and doing what they're doing, and having the appearance of religion, and it's not going to work. And I've seen it happen in churches, and as a pastor I've seen it. We have to do the necessary things that are extra, above and beyond what we would see maybe others doing. Practice justice and mercy, love God and people, live the word, and then put God first in all that we do.